I was telling some folks the other day about when I was a much younger man in Great Lakes, Illinois, at the Naval Training Center. I was studying at Machinist Mate A School to be a member of the engineering department on a ship, and I lived in a barracks with a couple of roommates. And I'd already learned in boot camp that the Navy was zealous about punctuality, so I had an alarm clock that I'd bought at the Navy Exchange. It was one of the first things I did when I got out of boot camp, was to buy that alarm clock, because there wasn't going to be a very loud boot camp company commander any longer or a public address system to wake me up. And it had a really annoying noise, an insistent, loud, buzzing noise, so I figured it would get the job done. Well, one night, not long after I'd moved in, there was a thunderstorm. And at some point after I went to sleep that night, the power went out in the barracks. So the next morning at 7:30 a.m., I was supposed to muster or gather with the other guys in my class and our chief. But the clock didn't go off because it was a plug-in clock. And I didn't wake up until I was already almost late. So I got dressed as fast as I could. I shaved dry without any shaving cream or anything, brushed my teeth for about 10 seconds just to, you know, just in case there's anything visible on them. And then I ran to get there, but I was already late. And the chief said, "You're late. Muster was at 0730. I said, "I'm sorry, chief, my alarm clock didn't go off because the power went out during the storm last night." And he said, "That's no excuse. It's your responsibility to be here on time." I didn't even know what to say. I'd been in the military about 3 months at that point. I'd never had anybody say something like that to me before, so this is a new idea. I said, "But the power went off." And he said, "You have to plan for that. You have to be here. There are no excuses. So how could you have avoided this situation?" And I immediately started thinking really fast because he was looking at me. He wanted an answer. And I said, "Well, I guess I could have a wind-up alarm clock instead." And he nodded his head. That was my first experience with taking responsibility for situations, even when I'm not entirely in control of all the variables. But it stuck with me because it's something you learn, isn't it? That we're not in control of all the variables in life. We don't control the weather or the power grid in that instance, but we control our own choices, and we also should have the imagination to think ahead, anticipating what might happen that could trip us up. And this applies in family life, in marriage, work, friendships, any place where we have responsibilities to God, to other people, to our own sense of ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ. Or in other words, we know who we ought to be and what we're supposed to do. And so when we aren't that person, when we don't do those things, whatever the other factors, there's still an element of our falling short that's just our own. There was a writer named C.S. Lewis, who was one of the great Christian writers of the last century. And he said that when we confess our sins, it's important that we do so without making excuses, that we don't say, "I'm sorry I did this, but this is what was happening at the time." Because he says, God already knows how responsible we are in that situation. God already knows how to weight the other factors, the thunderstorm, the plug-in clock, all that kind of stuff. How much have we thought through how we live in order to be Christians who aren't blaming the alarm clock, so to speak? Because we can't fool God any more than that chief was buying my excuses. We might blame other factors or minimize our own negative behaviors, but a day like today, Ash Wednesday, and the Lenten season, those are time for a reality check. We are mortal. We are capable of making mistakes and poor choices, and God is forgiving more than we deserve, even reaching out to us before we're fully aware that we're in the process of being forgiven. But it's up to us also to realize that whatever else happened, that we controlled our own responses and thoughts in the situations that we found ourselves in. But even more than just recognizing and mending our shortcomings, Lent is a call to us to do something we should do all the time, but that we think of particularly at this season. We're called to become more than we are right now, more than we were before. The chief corrected my thinking, gave me that reality check, because it was his purpose to train me to be something beyond what I already was, to be a useful, productive, excellent sailor. He wanted to help me become more than I was. And part of that was to teach me to accept responsibility so that I could take the skills and knowledge that they were going to give me and be in a position to use them. He was helping me work on improving myself. Now, I have friends and family who join book clubs through school or the library. And I know a lot of people who play sports regularly or take on fitness and health challenges, 22 push-ups a day for 22 days. I did that one a few months ago. 21 days of healthy eating and exercise. Now, how is it that for all of the many people who choose to watch what they're eating or step up their exercise program, that there are so few of us who still come in here and receive the ashes, commit ourselves to striving for repentance, for rethinking our lives, and for spiritual healing and growth? Prayer or Bible reading or spiritual learning, is this really that much worse than a kale smoothie or a Zumba class? Is it that much harder, even just to start? There is a lot of penitential language in this service and throughout this season of Lent. And God's hope, we learn, is that along with whatever regrets we offer in our prayers of confession tonight, that there will be changes in us that follow that. There will be, as we live during this season, positive goods that come forth, new commitments to better living and learning. Rend your hearts and not your garments, the Lord tells us through the prophet. Be responsible not only for what we have done, but also, with God's help and wisdom, with the aid of Jesus Christ, for figuring out a better way moving forward. And I hope you'll join me in taking this special opportunity to do something, or a few things, to grow in faith, in a relationship with God and the world around us. Amen.